We serve the Lord as the host above, as the hymn has said. And we're delighted to have the Lord's servant with us again tonight. And we're going to ask him to come and bring God's word to our hearts afresh this evening.
Well, we do thank our brother, the Reverend Dean, once again for the warm words of welcome along tonight to this conference in Crossgar. We thank you for your attendance as well tonight as we gather around the Lord's Word. Our brother said about how quickly these meetings go. I'm not sure how quickly they've gone for you, but they're certainly going quickly for me. It's hard to believe that we're on the penultimate night, though we trust that as the Lord has been with us thus far, that again this evening he would be with us as we come around his word. Matthew chapter 28 for our reading this evening. Matthew chapter 28, our subject this evening is encouragement for the servant. And it is a subject not just applicable to preachers, our Sunday school teachers, or evangelists, or elders, or deacons, or whatever other avenue of particular service you can think of, but it's applicable to all of God's people. For we are saved to serve. We are saved to live lives that are dedicated unto the Lord in his service. We're not saved to be idle. We're not saved to sit back and to watch God's work go by. We're not saved just to continue as we are and to be stagnant and not to do anything for the Lord. But we're saved, set apart, called out to live a life of service unto our Savior. Not only have we been called away from sin, but we've been called into the service of our Lord. But what are we called to do? What are we equipped to do? Well, that might be different as it varies from child to child, but nevertheless, we are all tasked with being involved in the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians 12 is not our reading this evening, but the verses 20 to 21, speaking of God's people there as the members of one body, we read, but now are they many members yet, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And as God's people, we make up the body, the church. Of course, Christ is the head, but as all the members of our physical body have a different role, their service might look different, yet all are vital and all are important. And that is true in the work of the Lord. We might all do different things, but yet we're all to serve the Lord in one way or another. Matthew chapter 28, we'll just read from the verse 16 down to the end of this chapter this evening. Matthew 28 and the verse 16, very well known, again, portion of Scripture, I'm sure well known to everybody here this evening. Matthew 28 and the verse 16, God's Word says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We'll just still our hearts briefly before the Lord. Let us ask for his help as we come to consider his truth this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again tonight that we can gather around thy word. We thank thee, O God, that to those who are outside of Christ, to those that have maybe watched us enter into thy house tonight, maybe even those that would scroll down through Facebook and see the meeting, they might see the preaching of thy word as mere foolishness. They might see our gathering together tonight as being a waste of time. And yet, Father, we rejoice tonight that we know that it is no vain thing that we wait upon the Lord. We thank thee that it is no vain thing to gather in public fashion as thy people in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for thou hast promised to be in the midst. And where better could we be than in the presence of God Almighty? And Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy truth to our hearts. We thank thee for this revelation that thou hast given to us. And what a marvel it is that we, who were once in the depths and the darkness of our sin, yet how thou would so desire to reveal thyself unto us. And Father, we rejoice in thy word. Bless it to our hearts tonight, we pray. We ask that the Spirit of the Lord would send it forth. We thank thee for the promise that thy word shall not return unto thee void. And we pray, O God, tonight that whatever thy plan would be, whatever thy purpose is, that thy word would accomplish it tonight, that you'll write it upon every heart. May it be that encouragement. May it be that challenge. May it be that voice of the Lord speaking unto us. Give help in its expounding and preaching, we ask. We pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We look to thee. We ask for thy presence and thy power and thy help in the preaching of thy word. And Father, we pray that all the praise and all the glory would go to thy great and worthy name. Hear and answer our prayer. Dwell with us now. Take away the distractions. Shut us in with thee. For it's in our Saviour's precious and worthy name we ask. Amen. This evening we want to look at the words of our Saviour, recorded here for us in these closing verses of Matthew chapter 28. Of course, well known words of our Saviour, known as the Great Commission, words that Christ has given to his church. And in these words of Christ, every one of the people of God, the church as a whole, that body of Jesus Christ, receives a call to service. In these words of our Saviour, there is that challenge. There is that command to leave our all, to follow Christ and to serve him. You might ask tonight, well, why? Why would we get involved in the work of the Lord? Why are we all to be involved in God's service? Certainly those outside of Christ looking on might think those things. Why do God's people labor for the Lord? Why do they witness? Why do they invite to meetings? Why do they gather in the Lord's house? Why do they pray? Why do they serve the Lord? Why do they dedicate themselves to a life of service for their Savior? What's the purpose? Why do these things? Well, we have the answer here in Matthew 28 and these closing verses of this portion of Scripture. You see, being a child of God, being a follower of Jesus Christ, being one of Christ's disciples is not just about meeting for a couple of times during the week in church. It's not just about saying a prayer now and again or picking up God's word now and again, but it's a life that is dedicated to the service of God. It's a life in which we leave our all upon the altar and we live a life in service to Jesus Christ. That is what Christ has called us to do. We are all to be involved. We are all to be serving the Lord and laboring for him. And these words of Christ, issued here in the immediate context, are to his disciples, but they're words to his church. They're words that are applicable to you and to me this evening. And these words, not only is there a challenge, but also an encouragement, a challenge for those that aren't serving the Lord, a challenge for those that haven't left their all and followed Christ in service, but also a great encouragement for those that are serving, for those that are laboring the Lord to continue in his work and to rest in the promises that he has given to us. The Lord's work is not an easy work. Serving the Lord has its challenges. It has its difficulties. There are toils, there are labors, and there are many struggles. But what a blessing it is, and what a privilege that the Lord would use you and I to labor for him. Spurgeon said that service is delight, praising God is pleasure, laboring for him is the highest delight a mortal can know. Laboring for God, the highest delight, the greatest pleasure a mortal can know. This great commission that Christ uttered here in verses 19 and 20, they really Christ's last message to his people before he ascended back up into glory as he ended his earthly ministry. And what tremendous words they are. What an appropriate way to end his ministry in this scene of time, in a physical sense. And these are words that should ring in the hearts and the ears of every born-again believer. They should be words that are close and dear to our hearts every day that we're alive in this scene of time. Words that ought to drive us and to motivate us in a day, an age in which we live to serve the Lord. And so with this service in mind this evening, let us look at these words of Christ, and we trust they will be an encouragement this evening in our service and labor for him. Notice, firstly here, the sending forth. The sending forth. Look at what Christ tells his disciples. Remember what he's telling his church, what he's telling you and me this evening in verse number 28. He says, go. Christ does not tell his disciples here to stay where they are, and whoever comes to them, well, then they can share the gospel with them, or they can labor amongst them. He doesn't tell them just to wait and see what happens, just wait and see who arrives, and only then share the message of the gospel. No, Christ tells his disciples here that they were to go. And not thinking just for a moment about the location or about where they were to go or about the particular avenue of service, just think of what Christ was telling them to do there. He was telling them to go. He was speaking of action. He was speaking of doing something positive, not sitting idly, not sitting doing nothing, but they were to get up, they were to be active, they were to go into service and into labor for him. And dear believer, Christ's mission, Christ's desire for his church is exactly the same today. It hasn't changed. It is not that we would be idle. It's not that we would sit on the sidelines. It's not that we would watch on as perhaps others would labor and work for the Lord. No, that we would all go, that we would all be active, and that we would go forth about the service of God. Of course, that's a theme that's not only clear here in the words of Christ, but right throughout Scripture. It's a principle that God has laid down from Genesis right through to Revelation. It is repeated time and time again that the church is to go. It's to be active. It's to be involved in a lively and active labor for its master. Think of Jonah. We thought about how he disobeyed the Lord during the week. But didn't God tell Jonah to arise? He told him to go. He told him to be active. Go to Nineveh, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was to get up. He was to labor. He was to be active. Think about Moses, the Lord's service there in Exodus chapter 3, that scene at the burning bush, that scene we know and love so well, that bush that was burning, yet not consumed. What did God say to Moses there? He said, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses was to go. God was telling him to be active, to get up and to serve and to labor. Think about the Apostle Paul. Immediately as he was converted on the road to Damascus, the Lord told him to continue, go to Damascus and to wait there until I give you further instructions. And we know that life of service that Paul had lived for the Lord. And now here with his disciples, in Matthew 28, in these closing verses, as Christ was about to depart from this scene of time, as Christ was physically about to leave his disciples, he sends them forth. He tells them to be active in service. He lays down very clearly the mission and the commission that he has given to his church to get up and to be active and to serve and to labor for him. The same message applies to us tonight, dear child of God. God wants us to be active. He wants us to be involved in service. He wants us to be laboring for him. God wants you as part of his church to go, to get up and to be involved in his work. Why do we hold gospel missions? Why do we give invitations out to services in our churches? Why are we an active, evangelistic, and missionary-focused denomination? Because Christ wants us to go. He wants us to be active. He wants us to move for him. He wants us to be involved in labor. He doesn't want us to sit about idly. He doesn't want us just to wait and see what happens. But he has sent his church forth into the world to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And that includes you and it includes me this evening. I often wondered as a child, I'm sure I often wondered many things as a child, but often wondered when we were saved, why we didn't go immediately to heaven. Why didn't we just go straight to be with Jesus Christ? And what a wonderful thought that would be in many ways, that as soon as we were saved, that we would go to meet our Savior. But of course, that's not the way it is, because the Lord has a work for us to do. The Lord has left us in this world to serve Him, to labor for Him, to seek for the extension of His kingdom, the furtherance of the message of the gospel, and we're to be active, we're to labor. God has a purpose for His people. There are two things we notice here about this sending forth. Firstly, there's the whereabouts of the sending forth. Two phrases contained in the statement of Christ speak to us really about where we are to go. He speaks in verse 19 there of all nations, speaking of all tribes, all race, all different kinds of people. And Christ here, He was telling His disciples that there wasn't just one particular part of the world that they would go. There wasn't just one particular avenue of service, one particular type of people that they were to reach with the message of the gospel, but they were to go to all different types, all tribes, all nations. Their background didn't matter. The color of their skin didn't matter. Their nationality didn't matter. What tribe they might have been from didn't matter. These disciples were to go into all the world. They were to go to all nations. And that's our mission as the church. We are not to go and witness only to those perhaps we would like to go and witness to, those maybe we think, well, they would make a good Christian, or they're sort of already a wee bit like a Free Presbyterian, and they're maybe starting to dress in the right way, and they're starting to act in the right way. No, we're to go to all. We're to go to those who are maybe the downs and outs, those that are more respectable, those that we like to go to, maybe those perhaps we don't like to go to. It doesn't matter who it is or where it is. But the message of the gospel is for all. It is not to be contained. And as Christ here was giving this commission to His church, He was telling them to go ye therefore and teach all nations. I remember when we were first trying to begin our youth outreach work in Dunmurry. It wasn't anyone in my own congregation said this, just in case anyone are watching online and maybe I'd get in trouble. But I remember speaking to people about it and the beginning of that work, and I remember how people were saying, oh, you'd get all sorts of rascals in from the estate, that's going to be too hard, it's going to be difficult. But isn't that the whole point? We're to reach the lost, we're to go to all different types of people. We have to go. That's what Christ is telling His disciples here. It didn't matter where, it didn't matter who, but they were to be active, they were to serve and labor for the Lord. They were to reach sinners with the message of the gospel. And dear believers, let us pray that the Lord would give us opportunities to reach all different types of people, to serve in all different types of ways. And then notice the phrase at the end of Christ's statement in verse 20 there. He speaks of the end of the world. And in the context here, we could certainly apply that to time, but we can also apply it here, I believe, in terms of place. You see, there's no limit. There's no boundary in terms of where we're to take the gospel message. We're to bring it everywhere we go. We're to spread it as far and as wide as we possibly can. We're to reach the ends of the world with the message of the gospel. We're to reach the ends of our community with the message of the gospel, the ends of our family, the ends of our circle of friends, our colleagues, whatever it might be. We're to take it without restriction. I wonder tonight, are we serving the Lord in such a way? As a band of God's people, as individuals, oh, may we go and bring the gospel to all nations, to the end of the world. May we be active in our service and our labor for the Master. You might say tonight, well, I can't preach. I tell you the same, I can't preach. I can't go to the ends of the world. That might be a response that you will say. I can't labor as others would labor. And I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't serve as my brother and sister in Christ can serve. But yet there is so much that you can do. Do you pray for the going forth of God's word home and abroad? Do you pray that your family would be saved? Do you pray that God's work would be advanced? Do you support God's work financially if God has blessed you in that way? Do you bring the gospel to those you work with? Do you share the gospel with those you go to school or university or college with? Do you share it with those in your neighborhood? Do you share it with your circle of friends? Do you bring it to the end of the world? Oh, there's so much that we can do for the Lord. And we're to be involved as servants in this great commission that Christ has given to His church. Think of those wonderful, challenging words of our Savior In John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me. I must work the works. I must go and do what God has commanded us to do. I wonder, are you doing that tonight, dear child of God? Are you going into the world with the gospel? Are you serving the Lord faithfully? The whereabouts of this sending forth. Notice also the work that is involved in this sending forth. To go itself, just taking that word go, it implies that there's going to be work. It's an active word. We cannot just go somewhere to do something without it involving any effort, without it involving any toil or any labor, without using any energy. Of course, as we think of the context here, and Christ speaking to his disciples, travel in those days would have been a lot more difficult, a lot more dangerous and challenging than it is in our day and age. We can be most places in the world within a day. That wasn't the case, of course, in the days of our Savior. There was going to be work involved for the disciples. And God's service is no place for idleness. Being in the service and in the work of the Lord, whatever we're doing for the Lord, whether it's handing out invitations, whether it's speaking that word in season to those we come into contact with, it involves effort and toil and work. It's a difficult work. It's a challenging work. Of course, not everybody can put in the physical toil and labor, and the Lord knows that, but there's also a spiritual toil and a spiritual labor. We're to be burdened for the Lord's work. We're to be challenged by the furtherance of the kingdom of God. We're to be burdened to see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread as far and as wide as we can, and we're to pray for the Lord's work. There's an active effort that's involved, whether physical or spiritual. And if you can't physically labor, pray for those who can, but there's always a work to be done. And it is a work, and it is a toil, and it is an effort. No doubt you will have heard the false notions of the hyper-Calvinist view. They will take the attitude, well, if God wants men to be saved, they'll be saved. We don't need to put in any effort. If God wants men to come to church, well, they'll come to church if that's what his will is. And God has promised to build his church, so it doesn't matter what we do. And we can just sit back and watch it all unfold. And yes, praise God, tonight our God is sovereign. And we know that he can and on occasions does move without the help of human means. But down through the history of the human race, and we have it recorded for us in Scripture, and we see it in our day and age, it has pleased the Lord often to work through his church, through his people. He uses the witness and the testimony of the saints of God. He uses the efforts and the toils of his children, blessed by the Spirit of the Lord, to further his kingdom, to draw precious souls to that saving faith in Jesus Christ. And God has commanded us to work. We're to put in the effort. Yes, knowing that God has sovereign, but nonetheless, we're to labor and we're to toil and we're to serve. Of course, Christ could have fulfilled this commission without his disciples. We know that. But he chose to call them here to labor for him. What a privilege. Just think about how we were heading to that lost sinner's hell. We were cut off from God. We were the enemies of God. We had no love for God. We had no time for the things of God. And yet now how God is pleased to use us in his service. What a privilege. God could have worked without Moses. He could have worked without the Apostle Paul. He could have worked without Jonah. But he has chosen to use his people. And we're not to be idle, but we're to go into all the world and to preach the message of the gospel. We're to be his servants. That's the mission he's given. And it's not easy, and it involves toil and work and energy. And if you labor for the Lord in any way whatsoever, you will know the burden. You will know the challenge. You will know the struggle. Nevertheless, are you working for him? Are you putting in the effort? Are you a servant in the Lord's vineyard? Do you support the meetings in God's house? Do you encourage your brothers and sisters? Do you pray for your minister? Do you labor in whatever way you can? There's so much that you can do to serve the Lord. Do you share the gospel with family and friends? Do you help in outreach? Do you support the work of the Lord? Oh, we're to be active. We're to go. We're to faithfully serve our Savior Jesus Christ. There's a sending forth. Notice secondly this evening that in this sending forth, the Scriptures are to be forwarded. You see, Christ sends forth his church here with a very clear purpose, and that purpose is that the scriptures would be made known, that men and women would be confronted and faced with the word of God that he has given. Christ doesn't send his church forth so that it might do its own thing for its glory. The purpose of all that we do as a church, the purpose that all of us should do as individuals, is not that we would be glorified, not that there would be hordes of people coming into our services. That, of course, would be nice, but ultimately our goal is to glorify God through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been asked tonight, well, what does service for the Lord look like? What does it mean to serve the Lord? Well, it doesn't matter whether it's the Sunday school or the children's meeting or evangelism or testifying or sharing the message of the gospel. Service is seeking to glorify God through the proclamation of his precious word. That's what it is to serve the Lord. Think of that question that the catechism asks. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's what service is. And we're sent forth as a people, not for number's sake, not to become acceptable and favored in the community, not to provide entertainment and something for men and women to do, but to spread the word of God as far and as wide as possible with the ultimate goal of glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it is to serve our God. And if we are not doing what we're doing to glorify the Lord, if we are not serving to bring honor and glory to the name of King Jesus, then we're not serving at all. This is what it means to be a servant of God, to glorify God through the preaching of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the forms that that might take. Notice the language that is used by Christ in these verses. The disciples are told in verse 19 to teach. The word teaching is also used in verse 20, and it's speaking of instruction as a teacher would instruct their pupils. And dear believer, we must remember that we're sent forth into a world that vastly knows nothing about the Word of God. And that is becoming more and more evident. If you are involved in children's ministry in any way, you will know that. It seems to be, as the weeks go by, that children know less and less about the things of God, those things that we would think are so simple, that we would take for granted, and they know nothing of them. They don't know the Word of God. Men and women don't know Christ. They don't know the Scriptures. But here, the disciples were commanded to teach all nations. There's a couple of things that they were to teach and instruct. Firstly, they were to instruct about salvation. Christ says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And the fact here that they were to teach about the sacrament of baptism, the fact that they were commanded and given the authority by Christ to baptize, it brings us to the conclusion that they were to preach salvation. There was to be that teaching of that repenting of sin, that leaving that old man behind, and that fleeing to Jesus Christ, resting in him as our own and personal Savior. And when souls were saved, they were to be baptized. And there was an order here. They were to preach the message of the gospel. Salvation was to be taught. Men and women were to be called to repentance. And today we must do the same thing. There are many churches today, and they will never mention sin. They will never call men and women to repentance. And yet here the disciples were told to teach all nations, to bring to them the message of salvation, of which repentance is so key. And we're to do the same today. We're to convince through Scripture men and women to repent of their sin, to flee to Jesus Christ. We're to bring the message of the gospel. We're to reveal to men and women through God's word their sin, their need of a Savior. We're to bring them the hope of the message of Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in all the endeavors we have for Christ, in all our labor and our work for the Master, we are to preach Christ crucified. That's to be core and central. Not just to drop in the message of the gospel as if it's insignificant. Not just to bring a message that will tickle the ears, but we're to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its fullness. We're to preach Christ. We're not called to entertain. We're not called to preach that which is acceptable in our day and age, but we're called to preach our Saviour and his call to sinners to repent and to believe on him. That's the purpose of God's work. That's our responsibility. That's our challenge to serve, whether it's in testifying or handing out tracts or praying or witnessing or preaching or whatever it might be, teaching in the Sunday school or the young people or praying for those who publicly proclaim the gospel. There's something for us all to do, but at the very core and center of it all, it is to be preaching Christ and sharing the message of the gospel. Why? So that God would be glorified in the saving of precious souls. That's why God has called us to serve. That's why the church exists. That's why the doors are open. That's why Christ has saved us, to live a life of service for him, proclaiming the message of the gospel. I wonder, are we furthering the gospel? Are we preaching Christ? Are we sharing the message that Christ has come to seek and to save the lost? They were to instruct about salvation, but also here they were to instruct about sanctification, because Christ says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We're to teach the scriptures as a rule of faith and practice. Our responsibility is not only to reach the lost with the message of salvation, but we're to disciple men and women and young people in their faith. We're to teach them what scripture teaches them. We're to teach how God has commanded us to live our lives. That includes, of course, taking a stand against the wicked and evil things that take place in our generation, things that are contrary to the Word of God. Christ wants us to go and to teach all nations, yes, the way of salvation, but also how God would have us to live our lives. It's not just the case that souls are saved and then we forget about them, they can live as they want. No, the purpose of the church, the mission of the church, is to disciple, to teach, to guide. You might not be a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, or maybe another office that you can think of, but you can be a servant of God in instructing others how to live by living in obedience yourself, by living out your faith. That's a form of service. By glorifying God in the manner in which you live your life, the manner of your conversation, how you deal with men and women, how you react in situations. That's service to the Lord, living in obedience to his truth. Living out in practice our faith, because the world is watching on. Your children are watching on. Your grandchildren are watching on. Your colleagues are watching on. Your neighbors, your friends are watching on. We're to set forth what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We're not to fit in with the world. We're not to be indistinguishable from the world. We're to stand out. We're to stand up. We're to be different. We're to live out our faith. We're to point men and women to Christ, yes, with our words, yes, with our evangelism, yes, with our actions in that manner of speaking, but also by the way we live our lives, by our obedience to God's truth. I wonder, are we doing that this evening? Are we serving the Lord by how we live our lives? Are we faithful ambassadors of Jesus Christ? Do we live lives which point to the goodness and the greatness and the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And Christ's mission for his church is ascending forth. The scriptures are to be forwarded. Then thirdly, and finally here, we see that there's the Savior's fellowship. The Savior's fellowship. Here's a wonderful encouragement for us when we are in the service of God. Wonderful encouragement for those that are seeking to fulfill this commission, for those that are going into all the world and sharing the message of the gospel. Night by night, we've seen throughout the week how we're instructed in Scripture to do certain things, whether it's instruction in prayer, instruction in time of suffering, or instruction in terms of the will and the purpose of God. But in the midst of all those things, there is always a word of encouragement, and here is no different. There are promises we can claim. God does not issue commands and instructions without providing a confidence, not a confidence in ourselves, but a confidence in him. And more often than not, when we read through Scripture and we see what God commands us to do, and we receive those instructions, and God makes his will so clear to us, it is more often than not backed up and comes alongside it as a confidence and an encouragement and a promise. And the same is true here, as Christ has told his disciples to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he gives the promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, we're not left alone in our service. Even though as Christ spoke these words to his disciples, he was soon to leave this world. He was going to ascend back up into glory to be with his heavenly Father. Yet Christ promised here to fellowship with his disciples, to be with them as they served him. And the same is true for the church today. The same promise still stands for you, dear child of God, as you seek to serve the Lord. This mission we have, it is a daunting mission. It's a challenging mission. It's a difficult mission, particularly in the days and age in which we live. It's not plain sailing. It's not easy. It's not without its struggles. But Christ here, he gives us this wonderful promise, for he has not left us alone. He has promised to be with us. He has promised to fellowship with us. And dear believers, you serve God in whatever capacity it may be in your life, preaching, evangelizing, testifying, handing out tracts, faithful and fervent praying, many, many more things beside in which we serve the Lord. There's an encouragement here for you that ought to drive you on and ought to give you that motivation to continue. The Lord is with you. Look at the fellowship that the Savior gives here. Firstly, we see there's power in this fellowship. At the end of verse 18, Christ says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This great statement immediately precedes the great commission that Christ gives. And there's a reason, there's a purpose for the order here, because it is only that we serve a God of power that we can go forth and do what God has called us to do. Without the power of Christ, our labor would be in vain. Christ has all the power of heaven and earth. Christ is sovereign over all. With him, nothing is impossible. But we, as Scripture tells us, can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. As we face the task of serving God, whatever the Lord has given us to do, whatever way in which we serve our Lord and King in this fallen, sinful world, there's so much to discourage us. And it's so easy to go about with the attitude of being already defeated, that it's all just in vain, that it's not worth the effort because nobody's gone to listen. And what's the point in going on, because it's going to be too hard. Nobody's coming in. Nobody is being saved. Nobody's heeding the message of the gospel. And it's all going to be in vain. And if we were depending on our own strength, that would be the case. We cannot create an anxious thought. We cannot drive people under the preaching of the gospel. But we can look to God for that, for he is all powerful. He's the one who says here that all power in heaven and earth is given to him, and he has promised to be in the midst of his people. As we are going forth with the gospel, we depend on his power and his strength. I remember when I was entering in to the Whitfield College, I was a member of Donaghadee at the time, and one of the committee men that I served alongside on the committee with there, I remember him saying to me as I was going into the college, he says, remember this, you're called to be faithful, not successful. And that's stuck with me ever since. We're called to be faithful, not successful. The success is up to God. The results are up to the one in whose name we go. He has all the power to do as he pleases with our service. That is up to our Lord and Savior. But we must go forth faithful, knowing that God is able. Knowing that Christ has the power to save souls. Knowing that Christ has the power to build his work, to further his kingdom. We don't go forth in our own power, but the power of Christ. Not only is there power here, but there's also presence. The presence of Christ. As we go into the world with the message of the gospel, we're promised that Christ will be with us. Christ says at the end of verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Christ promised to be with his disciples here, and he promises to be with us. No matter what we face, no matter how difficult our service might be, Christ is going to go with us. Christ is in the midst of his church. It's in the midst of his people. Christ goes with us as we go out with the message of the gospel. What a comfort that is. We're not alone. Although at times, I'm sure, in our service for the Lord, we might feel alone, we might feel isolated, we might feel like nobody else understands, but Christ is in the midst, and Christ promised his presence here to be with his church as they labored for him, as they sought to serve him. And dear child of God, we're to pray for the presence of God in our service for him. Pray for the presence of God in our meetings. Pray for the presence of God in our outreach, in our prayers, in our evangelism, in our preaching, because it's God's presence that makes the difference. It's God's presence that's going to change things. It's God's presence that's going to encourage us to keep on going on and serving and laboring him. And so there is encouragement for the service of God, an encouragement here to get to work, to labor for the Lord, do all that you can in the strength and the power that the Lord has given to you with the skills and the gifts that God has given to you. Do all that you can to serve the Lord. There's that sending forth, that getting up and going with the message of the gospel to proclaim and to preach the message of Jesus Christ. And there's an encouragement here as we go about it that Christ is going to be with us, even on to the end of the world as we seek to accomplish this mission, as we seek to labor and serve the Lord. Christ will reveal to us his power and reveal to us his presence, which will ultimately result in God being glorified in the saving of precious souls and the building up of his kingdom. God has said that he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a privilege tonight to be involved in such a building, to be involved in the service and the labor of the Lord. Let us go forth, not on our own strength, not on our own emotion or power, but let us labor for our Master. Let us dedicate and devote our lives to serving God, knowing that we go in his strength and his power, and that he has promised to be with us even unto the end of the world. We trust that that would be so, that we would live those lives of dedication and service to our Master. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening. We'll ask your minister to come and close.
Again, we thank Reverend McVeigh for the words to our hearts this evening, and what a blessing it is to be the Lord's servants tonight and to serve the Master that we serve, and we are to be diligent servants for him. And may the Lord challenge our hearts and enable us to go forth in these days and to seek to bring the message. The devil will want to shut our mouths and stop our service, and does all that he can to discourage us, and sometimes he succeeds in discouraging us. But we have to go and do what the Master has said. And may we be diligent for him in this day and generation. Can we turn to the last hymn there on the hymn board? 489. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my Master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. And we pray that God will write the word upon our hearts. We'll sing verses 1 and 5 of the hymn, and we will stand as we sing.
Thank you.
gracious Father, we thank thee for this commission that thou hast given us to go into all the world. We recognize the daunting task it is, but Lord, we thank thee that thou hast given us thy power and thy presence to be with us and to help us along the way. And O God, we thank thee that we have a God who has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Lord, we thank thee that we go in the strength of our God, then we will have success. And we thank thee, our God, that we can have the blessing of knowing that we're in the greatest work in the world. So our God, we pray that thou wouldst part us in thy fear and with thy blessing again, take us to our homes in safety, watch over us and be with us even in these incoming days. Continue to write thy word upon our hearts and continue to challenge us afresh in our Saviour's name, for it is in the name of our Saviour that we'd ask all these things. Amen. Amen.